Heavenly Father, I just want to ask that you would just in grace now, just let every word be seasoned with your majesty and your power. Lord, let every word be seasoned with grace. May our ears be open, may our hearts be open. And Lord, I just pray there be gentleness in what is said this morning. Heavenly Father, be with us now, we ask, in your name. Amen. Amen. At school, there was a small boy in a class, and the class had been asked to draw a picture of their favourite Old Testament story. And so they drew a picture of their favourite Old Testament story with different children. And this little boy in the class, when his teacher came over, the teacher was quite surprised and said, "What's this you've drawn?" And he goes, "Well, it's a car." And she went, "Okay." He said, "And are those naked people in the back of the car?" He went, "Yes." She went, "What story have you picked from the Old Testament?" He said, "Well, in the book of Genesis, it says that God drove Adam and Eve out of Eden." That childlike faith, that childlike understanding is really important. And today, our beatitude is from Matthew 5:9, which is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God." Children of God. And after starting quite lightheartedly with that story, this is a word which every time something like this comes up, I recoil of having to preach it, because it just affects everything in my life. Because to preach this morning is hard. And for some of us this morning, it might be life-giving. I hope it will be for all of us. But for some, it might be quite hard this morning. Because actually to preach on the peace of God and the reality of what that means, and to be a peacemaker for God and what that means, isn't straightforward and easy. I'm just going to start with, and you can show a hand if you want to, but who here's been hurt by church? Yeah? Quite a few. Been hurt by church. And this morning, we're going to address this issue of being hurt by church, maybe. That'll be part of what we're going to cover. Therefore, it might bring up things in your past, it might bring up things that are currently going on in our lives to do with the relationships that we have in the life of this church. Are you ready for some fun? It says in John 1:12, "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We start with the understanding that God says, if you receive Christ and you believe in his name, you're given the right to be called a child of God. But this beatitude today doesn't say the right to be a child of God. It says those who are peacemakers are called children of God. So you can have the right to something, but do you own it? Do you own what it is that is available to you? So being a child of God is open to all of us if we receive Christ and believe in his name. But if you want to be someone who owns the name of a child of God, Jesus says, then you need to be a peacemaker. You need to be someone who makes peace. Last Sunday night, there's a baptism here, and one of the guys from Sheldon Community Church was preaching, a guy called Nathan Atkins, and he was saying something which I thought was brilliant and lovely. He's talking about parents and children, and how children, when they're born, and as they grow, you have this brilliant picture of how they kind of start resembling, different times, each parent. They look like their parents, or they act a certain way, and you go, oh gosh, that's like their family. That's like them. And that actually that family resemblance. And if we're going to be called children of God, it's suggesting there's a resemblance between us and the Father. There's a resemblance between us and Christ. There's a family resemblance. We're still unique in who we are, but our attitudes, our lifestyle, what we look like should resemble the Father. There should be a family resemblance. And so today this beatitude is saying, if you are a peacemaker, then you show the family resemblance of God. You're called a child of God. You have that. You own it. It's not something that could be. It's something that is a fact. And therefore, to be a child of God is to be a peacemaker. And this beatitude is saying, right, we've talked about your heart, we've talked about who you are before God, we've talked about your humility, we've talked about your hunger and thirst for righteousness, we've talked about the mercy of God, saying, but if you want to be a child of God, Your actions need to demonstrate the actions of God. You need to live as a maker of peace, a peacemaker. That's what you are called to be. That's what you are called to do. Make peace. A peacemaker is an actively engaging activity. It's something that we are called to be doing. It's not blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, aren't they lovely? And so often when we come to the Beatitudes, I said before, we can read them and it's kind of like, oh, isn't it nice? Oh, blessed are the peacemakers. It's not, say, blessed are the peacemakers. People who are about the Father's business. People whose whole lifestyle reflects what God is like. This isn't just, this is like serious stuff. Because this is the crux of the gospel, about making peace. And peace isn't just this nice thing. See, we think that peace is the absence of conflict. It's not. Scripturally, it's not the absence of conflict. It's not avoiding strife. We are never instructed to run away from conflict or put our head in the sands. So being a peacemaker isn't avoiding strife. It's not appeasing parties that we are with. So it's not kind of going, well, just for the sake of this, I'll just do that because it'll be easier. That isn't making peace. That's appeasing someone. It never deals with the root issue or the root problem. How often in church do we appease people? Prime example, number one. We appease people because it's just easier to, rather than having a problem, rather than having a conflict. And we think it's making peace. It's not making peace. It leaves the issue festering away. It doesn't deal with it. It doesn't root it out. It's not accommodating everyone's issues. That isn't peace. It's not the person who glosses over issues and problems. I'll just gloss over that. That's fine. Peace isn't those things. It isn't peace at any price. A peacemaker, the attitude of a peacemaker, it is costly. Because peace in the Bible is always related to justice, righteousness, and truth. And therefore, to be someone who is working for peace, it is dealing with an aspect of justice and truth. We could have had peace in, the Second World War. We could have had peace by just not fighting each other. But it wouldn't have dealt with the horrific issues that were going on. It wasn't dealing with truth. And sometimes, in striving for peace, there is conflict first. What? How do we understand that? We understand that peace in the Bible is linked to this idea of the Jewish word shalom. The peace of God. Which isn't just kind of like, oh, lovely. It is a powerful, powerful word. The shalom, the peace of God, isn't just an absence of conflict. The shalom is about the best that everything can be. It's the divine promises of God in your life. It's receiving, living in the fullness, the wholeness of who you could be. The wholeness of what should be, of what could be. That is the shalom of God. So when Paul writes in the scripture saying, peace to you, grace and peace, he's saying all that God is, all the divine favour of God, all that is right, all the wholeness, all of the health, the prosperity of what could be, that's what I wish upon you. That's what I'm speaking over you. This peace of God. If you go to the book of Numbers, you have the priestly blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. That is what God wants to do. He wants to bring peace to us. And we go right back to Genesis. Those first few words in the book of Genesis, it says, God spoke and created the world. And it says at the beginning, the world was formless and void, and the waters were there, and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. And in Hebrew understanding, in Hebrew literature, waters in the ocean is always seen as chaos or as death, something which is negative. It's not good. And the Spirit of God is hovering over the chaos of creation, the chaos of what's happened, and God speaks and brings order. And that speaking the word and bringing order into the chaos, that is like the shalom of God. It's bringing the chaos into a place of peace, a place of right relationship where everything is ordered and it is just as it should be. And as God creates, what does he create? He creates perfection. He creates everything as it should be. Everything is right. Everything is just. Everything is true. And he makes humanity and we mess it up. Because we have that freedom to do so. And when we mess it up, it says everything gets cursed. And we've been talking about blessing of the Beatitudes. The opposite of blessing is the curse that we live under, the curse of the way the world currently is. It's not like, oh, you're cursed. It's we all live under the curse that the world is under because of sin. And when we receive God, we live under the blessing that comes from him, that we can be set free from the chaos of this world, the chaos that has come about because of sin. So God creates perfection. He creates shalom. And with the fall, it becomes chaotic again. And so the work of Jesus is to bring peace back to a chaotic world. He comes to reconcile the world back to God. Because in the place of chaos, we lose our relationship with God. We are not at peace with God because we live in the turbulence of this world. And God is a God who is a God of order, a God of beauty, a God who is just, a God who is righteous, where everything is as it should be. He is a holy God. So the ministry of Jesus is to bring reconciliation to the world. And Jesus is called in the messianic prophecies of Isaiah 9:6, Jesus called the Prince of Peace. And when he comes into the world, what do the angels sing in Luke? Peace on earth. Jesus is persistent with his words of absolution to sinners, and he says, go in peace. Jesus has a ministry of peacemaking. And then he says in John's Gospel, the peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. And the first words of Jesus to his disciples when he meets them again in the upper room is, peace to you. Peace to you. The reconciliation is going on. The ministry of Jesus is to reconcile us to God, to make what has become chaotic and wrong and messed up. It brings order back to our approach to God the Father. We can come back to him. Colossians 1:20 says, and through him, Jesus he's talking about here, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus, his whole ministry is to reconcile not only humanity, but everything back to God, to make everything right as it should be. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5, starting at verse 19, he says, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Other translations there say the message of peacemaking. God came to make peace with humanity by Jesus shedding his blood on the cross. And we are given the same message of peacemaking. To be reconciled to God and to reconcile with each other and to reconcile the world to God the Father. You can't be a Christian and not be a peacemaker. Because you're not living the calling of being a reconciler, carrying the message of reconciliation. Just thinking about this word peace again in the Greek, one commentator writes this about the word peace. Such a state of peace is the object of divine promise and is brought about by God's mercy, granting deliverance and freedom from all the distress that we experience as a result of sin. Hence, the message of salvation is called the gospel of peace. For this peace can only be a result of reconciliation with God, referring to our new relationship between man and God, brought about by the atonement. This is called the gospel of peace because it reconciles humanity back to God. It puts the chaotic order back as it should be. That is the ministry of Jesus. That's the work of Jesus to be allow us to be reconciled through him. If we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, we can be reconciled to God. And therefore, we can become people who carry that same message with us. We can be peacemakers. So we show the family resemblance of God when we reconcile everything to God through Christ. If we are a peacemaker, if we are someone who has received peace from God, we are called to be a peacemaker, and therefore we show our family resemblance, restoring the favour of God onto creations. Ephesians 2:14 says, "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing walls of hostility." Saying Jesus came to bring peace and break down the walls of hostility that divide us. I talked about all that. That's lovely and great, and you're going, "Oh, that's nice." But what? How does this actually affect me in my life? How do I be a peacemaker? How do I actually put this into practice in my life? How do I become this? Because to be a peacemaker, to live this radical life of peacemaking, it requires an entire change of being. Feeling confident? An entire change of being. And the Beatitudes are the process we go through to get this change of being. Being a peacemaker is not a natural way of being. It only comes about when we are in Christ. And the Beatitudes we've been talking about are like a ladder, It's like a ladder. Imagine it's here. The imaginary ladder here, it's each Beatitude builds upon each other. And as we get towards the end of the Beatitudes, we're seeing how this plays out in our actual life. That when we understand that we are not in right relationship with God, and we have nothing that we can offer God in right relationship, that we have a complete spiritual bankruptcy, that we need his grace and his mercy, that we need him desperately, when we mourn over the way the world is, the chaos that we see, the hurt, the pain of sin, and how awful that is, when we recognize our humility that we need in order to approach God, because I have nothing to offer him, so I have to be humble in my heart. And have I got a hunger and a thirst for what is right? Have I got a hunger and thirst for peace, for justice, for how things should be? That's what should happen in us as we recognize the power of sin and we go, that's horrible, that's evil, that is not right. Do we hunger and thirst for what should be right? Do we receive the mercy of God? Do you see what God has then done for us? See, it's this whole change of being. I can't do this, but God can do it in me and through me. So to be a peacemaker, you start by being reconciled to God. It's as simple as that. Are you reconciled to God? And it isn't just the one time I've said the prayer, I'm now a Christian, isn't it lovely? It's the constantly being reconciled to God. It's constantly saying, God, I repent of this. Oh gosh, I've done that again. Lord, forgive me. Because a repentant heart leads to forgiveness from God. And it brings freedom. When we're not repentant, we live in bondage again. And Jesus came to bring freedom to us. So to be a peacemaker, we first have to start with being reconciled to God. Constantly being reconciled to him. Secondly, when you're reconciled to God, and I've said this before, if this relationship's right, it means that we can make good relationships with other people. So it always starts with our relationship with God first. And if that's not going well, our relationships won't go well either. The second characteristic of a peacemaker, this is where it starts getting hard and tough, is that your central concern is the glory of God. Your central concern is the glory of God. Because when issues arise amongst us, when we get hurt in church, when someone offends us in church, when someone offends us in the world around us, our natural response is to say, how will this affect me? What's the reaction upon me? What is it going to mean for me? Is it fair on me? Have my rights been taken into account? It's about me. When someone wrongs me, I go, oh, it affects me. But a peacemaker's central concern is the glory of God. And when you are mature in faith, when you've gone through these rungs of the ladder of the Beatitudes, hopefully by this point, when you've got the point of where you're saying impurity of heart, you're able to self-reflect on who you are. Hopefully you can see the world a little bit differently. Hopefully you can see yourself for who you really are. You can have a bit of self-reflection. And so, can you then step back and go, you know what? In the grand scheme of the kingdom of God, which is everything, how's this play out? How will this affect the kingdom of God? How will this affect the glory of God? How will this affect the church? How will this affect the other people in my life? Because the selfishness of a self-centered heart is the biggest cause of conflict in the world, because we think that we are right and they are wrong, and therefore let's have a fight. Let's have a conflict. Let's have an issue. And the issues that arise are because ultimately we are selfish. Our heart is selfish. And so it's all about me. And so I've been hurt. And it's all to do with how it affects me. But a peacemaker says, what's the glory of God all about? Because my central concern is the glory of God. It's not about actually how it affects me. It's about the glory of God. That's my central concern. See, when it's about me, it leads to a quarrelsome attitude. It leads to anger. It leads to misunderstanding. It leads to dispute. It leads to apathy. And these things aren't godly. Being quarrelsome, being someone who can't control their anger, being someone who keeps misunderstanding people, someone who keeps entering into disputes, someone who's just apathetic because they've been hurt, oh, I'm just going to be apathetic again now. These things aren't peacemaking. They are troublemaking. And if you are a troublemaker, you're not a child of God. Because peacemakers are called children of God. You still have the right to be called a child of God, but you're acting not as a child of God. Serious stuff. If your attitude is about you, you're not a child of God. You still have the right to be, but you're not acting as it. You're not called a child of God. People won't look at you and go, that's a child of God. They'll go, oh, that really annoying person who keeps stirring up trouble in the church, who keeps stirring up trouble in my workplace, who keeps stirring up these things around me. And I'd say some three of the biggest ones, which I've already said, are apathy. Oh, I don't like this. Can't be bothered. Well, they can get on with that, but it just doesn't bother me. How often does that happen in the church? All the time. Become apathetic to it. Oh, I'm fed up with doing this, fed up with doing that. Anger. We just blow up, we just can't blow our tops, we can't help ourselves, we just get angry about stuff. We become quarrelsome, we enter into arguments all the time, so every little thing becomes a big issue. And it starts with saying, what is my relationship with God doing? Because my relationship with God's going in the right place, then these things God should be bringing to the forefront of my life. I should be seeing these things happen in my life, because if God is in me, these things will naturally come to bear. I will see them for what they really are. So your relationship with God's not going well. Your relationships with other people aren't going to go well. Peacemakers carry the message of reconciliation. And peacemakers take the first step. They don't hope that it will all go away, or it will somehow magically resolve itself. Peacemakers take the first step. They are active in the message of reconciliation. Jesus says to the disciples, go out into all the world. And if people show you peace, stay there. People don't, shake the dust off your feet and move on. They were active in the ministry of peacemaking and reconciliation. Take the first step as a peacemaker. Don't wait for someone else to do it and go, well, they need to come suits for me. Just stop it. Go and do it yourself. What does it say in Romans 12:18? Paul says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. As far as it's possible, depending on you. Now, it doesn't mean to say that person isn't still going to have an issue with you. They've still got to do what they need to do in their hearts. But as far as it depends on you, go and do it. Take the first step. Jesus speaks about this so often in the Gospels. In Matthew 5, he talks about, he says, if you're going to bring an offering before the altar, if you get there and remember that actually you've got an issue between you and your brother or your sister in Christ, drop what you're doing and go and sort it out. Because you can't have true worship if you're not reconciled with each other. Get that? You can't have true worship if you're not reconciled with each other. Drop your offering, go and sort it out, and then come and bring your offering to God. If you're not in right relationship, your worship isn't honouring to God. And then Jesus goes on in Matthew 18 to say, if someone offends you in the church, go and sort it out quickly. Talk to them. And if it's sorted out, brilliant. If it's not, ask someone else to come with you and ask them to come be a peacemaker in your situation and bring some rationale to it. And if you still can't do it, take it to the whole church meeting. Why is he talking about the church meeting for a little tiny little issue? Why? Because when there is not reconciliation, when there is division in our relationships, and there's no unity, it inhibits the power of God. Inhibits the power of God. So it affects everyone. If you've got an issue with someone in this church right now, probably me, because I offend everyone. If you've got an issue and you're holding on to it and you haven't bothered to go and try and be a peacemaker and resolve it, you affect everything in this church. Do you get that? This is why it's so serious. Because the whole message of the Bible is about reconciliation. And so if we can't do it amongst each other, it affects everything. It affects everything amongst us. What does Paul say in Ephesians? He says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What is he going to speak about? He is to speak about the gifts in the church, the power of the Spirit in the church. When there's unity, the Spirit of God can move. When there's disunity, he doesn't. He doesn't. Where two or three are gathered, Christ is there in power. If you're divided, the power of God doesn't show up. Why? Because God is a God of peace, of unity, of things being as they should be. If we are discordant in our relationships, why is God going to turn up? Because he's a God of peace. Why would a God of peace turn up when our relationships are chaotic, when he's given us the ability to resolve the problems? We've talked about this before. If we go to Psalm 133, it says, how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, for that's where God commands the blessing. When there is unity, the power of God can move. Look at the early church. Look at Acts chapter 2, where they are united in their vision, their purpose, their relationships together. In Acts chapter 2, and they're being the early church, what happens is the miraculous takes place. Every need is met. Everything is good and as it should be. When there's unity, the power of God shows up. Acts chapter 7, what happens is there's a conflict because there's an issue arises about widows being fed in church. The conflict arises, it's dealt with in a right way, it highlights an issue, deal with it in the right way, and it resolves the problem, and they appoint deacons in the church to oversee things. A peacemaker takes the initiative. A peacemaker reconciles themselves to God. A peacemaker reconciles themselves to each other. And a peacemaker will be called a child of God because they bear the family resemblance of what God is about. The ministry of Jesus is about making peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And if we can't be bothered to not be selfish, if we can't be mature enough as Christians not to be selfish and take everything as our, you know, it affects me, it's about me, it's about me. It's not about you. The entire story of the Bible is like saying, it's not about you. It's about God and the glory of God. And what does Jesus say? He says, if we don't cry out in praise, the stones will cry out in praise. The whole of creation is waiting to cry out in praise. And if we stay quiet, he will cause creation itself to sing praise to him. Hard stuff. Hard stuff. Because it means it's not about me. It's rubbish. Because I want it to be about me. But it's not about me. It's about the glory of God. Am I going to be mature enough to see everything in the context of the glory of God? It's a question I've been asking myself a lot recently. When something happens and I go, ah! And I stress about the most simplest little things. I then go, in the grand scheme of the kingdom of God, which is everything, how does this compare? I don't compare it to poverty or to world hunger and these type of things because I think issue and need is relative. But when I compare it to the glory of God, does this honour him? Does this glorify him? How we are affects everything. And it affects everyone. I've been in this church, in worship services, where I know that there are people who are not reconciled to each other, and it affects the ability for the Spirit of God to move. You can feel it. You can sense it. There's times in this church when I have not been reconciled to someone in this church, and when I've been preaching, it's just rubbish. Because the power of God can't move without disunity. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Bear the ministry of reconciliation. Be a peacemaker. It's not something natural. It's something you have to ask God to help you do. You have to go through those Beatitudes and go, actually, God, yeah, I'm nothing before you, but in you I have everything. In you I'm a child of the living God. So let's stop it. Let's stop it. Let's take unity seriously. Take it seriously. Be of one accord. Be united in what you're doing. If you play a chord on the guitar, which is the right chord, it sounds beautiful, it is gorgeous, it is divine. When you play a chord wrong on the guitar, it is horrible. It is discordant. Isn't it interesting that in films, when you want to show fear, when you want to show horror, you have discordant music? Because we all know that when something is in unison, when everything is working as it should be, it is beautiful, it is divine, it is harmonious. That is the shalom of God, the harmonious nature of peace. So let's pray that everything we do would be harmonious in peace, harmonious in the shalom. So take what we do in church seriously. Be prepared to be united in prayer for the things that you're doing. Don't just turn up to something and go, oh, I'll do this now. Be united in prayer. How dare we take the work of God so callously? When we turn up and our heart isn't in the right place and we mess everything up, it just ruins what God's doing. Unity is so important because God himself is Trinity, unity, three in one. It's his very heart. It is harmonious and beautiful. I've been hurt by church. Maybe I wouldn't have been if I was prepared to be a peacemaker. If I was prepared to actually see it from the perspective of God's glory and God's kingdom. I'm not saying it will just take everything away instantly, but maybe actually there's more I could have done. Let's be united in the bond of peace as far as it depends on us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. And Lord, it's really hard sometimes. It cuts to the core. Lord, when there is disunity, when there are relationships that aren't right, it breaks your heart. And Lord, it's hurtful for us, it's hard for us. But Lord, you are the great God of reconciliation. You, through Christ, have reconciled us to God. You have made a way for peace between us and God. Lord, let us, as we look upon that majestic moment of peace between us and God, Lord, see it in the grand scheme of our relationships with each other in the church, each other in the world around us. In all that we do, let's be peacemakers, people who are actively engaged in bringing about peace, bringing about the things of you, Lord, bringing about your kingdom, bringing about your order, your beauty. Amen. Amen.